How safe is safe enough to re-engage fully in my relationship? Welcome to the Therapy Brothers podcast.
I'm Brandon.
I'm Tyler.
We're brothers.
We're therapists.
And we know recovery.
Bring your stories, your questions, your successes with real recovery.
Hey, Tyler, you ready to have some hard conversations?
Let's do it.
Let the Therapy Brothers podcast begin. Oh, Tyler, speaking of safety, I almost burnt my house down last night.
Uh-oh, what did you do?
I had all these T-bones that I was cooking up for Sunday dinner, and apparently there was a lot of fat in them or something, and just like dripped down to the grease pan and the So my barbecue is on that deck where there's just wood everywhere. So next, you know, I got this major like grease fire going in my grill, and I'm like sitting next to it with the fire extinguisher. Like, okay, just make sure this thing doesn't like really get out of control.
Ignite. At least you had a fire extinguisher that works. Most people don't have that in their house anymore these days.
I know. Yeah. It
sounds like I missed out. I should have come down for dinner last night.
You should have come down. I mean, I still pulled off like amazing T-bones, even with the barbecue.
The problem with T-bones is it's like you're basically having to go dip into your retirement just to buy T-bones these days.
Yeah. Well, I bought a full cow in my freezer. So but as part of that, we got some T-bones. So
that's awesome, man.
Yeah. It's good stuff. But, well, Tyler, should we dive in?
Yeah, just to mention really quickly, Radiant Dawn, our guest today, who's going to be on asking the question, her name's Megan. Megan, welcome. Megan has actually been a part of the Radiant Dawn conference, so I'm just going to invite you to say whatever you want as I talk with Brandon for a second here too, Megan, but we've got it set for April 11th through 14th. It's down in Hurricane, Utah, which is down by St. George, Southern Utah. We're doing it a little bit later this year than we did last year so that we have a little bit warmer weather. And it's going to be really awesome.
Yeah. So Megan, what's been your experience with Radiant Dawn?
Oh, I've loved it. I've loved it every time I've gone. And I'm not going to be able to go this year, but I would totally recommend it for anybody who's thinking about going. It's a great experience.
We're going to miss having you there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's been good having you there the last couple of years. So, yeah, we did push it back, Megan. Last year, I think we all shivered just a little too much.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think part of it was the year before was nice and warm. So the people who had come the year before had expected that again and then weren't necessarily prepared.
Yeah, the weather wasn't as good. So, yeah. Well, okay, Megan, let's talk about you now. Let's kind of shift gears to what's going on with you. And if you could just give us a little bit of background, some context to what's happening with you, and we'll go from there.
Okay. So my husband and I started the recovery process journey probably about 6 years ago now. He had a porn and masturbation addiction. And he's been sober since that time. So he hasn't had problems with relapsing all the time or anything like that. But just over, I don't know. During that time, like up early recovery, he struggled. We struggled a lot. And he at first kind of used me sexually as like a replacement for his addiction, which caused a lot of issues and trauma. But he's been pretty safe and in pretty solid recovery for quite a while now. But I still, like, anytime he initiates anything physical, sexual, I get this like bodily, visceral reaction of like kind of fight or flight where I'm just like, nope. Mm-hmm. And I get super high anxiety and I'm just like, I gotta get out of here. And if I initiate something sexual, then that doesn't happen. Then I'm okay. But if he initiates something, even if it's just like he wants to kiss me or whatever, I'm just like, I just kind of clam and freeze up. It's not very fun because it doesn't make him feel great. It doesn't make me feel great. I don't know. There were a lot of other factors just in our healing sexually, I guess. I had cancer a couple years ago and definitely didn't care for sex for quite a long time with that. Had a lot of stress, was in school and financial stress, and he's been out of work for quite some time. So I just kept thinking like, well, once I'm better physically, then that part will be better. Or once I get done with school and I'm not stressed out, then this will go away. And now I'm like, well, once he has a good job, then this will go away. But I'm starting to think like, maybe this is something I need to work on that's not going to just go away with stressors going away.
Yeah,
I guess.
Mm-hmm. It's a great question, Megan. I know that a lot of our listeners will appreciate the discussion we're going to have today on this. I just want to make sure I'm hearing you right, that it's not an all the time thing with like your sexual intimacy. It's the times when he's the one who's initiating that it becomes this sort of like, almost like it's not even intentional. It's like a subconscious part of you that's like kicking on and saying, ooh, danger, or something. It feels like old stuff or something like that.
Yeah. And but, you guys did an episode, I don't know how long ago, maybe a month or two ago, that talked a lot about women's sexuality. And there was a part that talked about like, sometimes women are reluctant to like do anything physical because they're concerned it will turn into like something sexual, right? So if you give them a great long kiss or whatever, they're going to interpret that and take it into like you want to have sex. And so we talked a lot about that after, and I was like, yeah, I don't really do a lot of physical connection in anyway, because it always felt like it was going to turn and have to turn into sex. So we've talked about that, and he's really worked hard on that. But now, still, like, even if he's like, I just want to hold you or kiss you or whatever, I still just like freeze up.
Mm-hmm. When that freezes up, is there? I'm assuming that the reason you're asking the question is that, and in many of those occasions, if you were to actually be able to watch it from like a third party view, there wouldn't be a reason to freeze up, at least now. So it feels old stuff.
Yeah. Because it's not like, you know, he's been a jerk that day or anything like that.
Yeah. Just to kind of go down the same line of thinking, just to like really assess what we want to do is really assess, is the relationship healthy? Is there trust in the relationship, where, you know, you look at it and you're like, okay, like we have good pieces of intimacy there, but intimacy isn't fully working. And so it seems like, Megan, that there's a lot of good things going on in your relationship. Is that accurate?
Yeah. I think things have gotten a lot better over the last few years, for sure.
When you say gotten a lot better, can we get into some specifics? Go ahead.
Oh, so I was going to say probably what was more traumatizing for me in the addiction stuff was not so much the addiction itself, but my husband got pretty emotionally abusive during that process of addiction. So that's probably what was more traumatizing for me. He's done a lot of work to not be that way anymore. But I definitely have some old stuff there, I think.
Yeah. Okay. And it's been a while since he's been like that.
Yeah, it has been.
Okay. And you feel like he's an honest man? Like there's trust there. He'll tell you the truth.
Yeah. Now he's probably a little too honest. but yeah.
Okay. So the abuse has gone away. He's being very honest. You feel like, is he consistent? Like if he, you know, is he consistent with what he does?
I would say like more and more so, but still probably not like all the time.
Okay.
And that sometimes like emotionally, he still sometimes has a hard time managing emotions, but he get like, once he has a hard time with it, he recognizes it, corrects it, you know, gets back on track. But sometimes every once in a while, I still am like, I don't know what I'm going to get, you know?
Okay.
As far as
there's a space, like there's got to be space for him to be human, right? Like, he's going to make mistakes and he's not going to be perfect. So there's got to be that space, but
that's my question is like, I want him to be like, be able, I know he's going to have days where he's in a bad mood, right? And like, he's going to be human, but I'm like, I don't know at what level am I like, okay, this is just normal stuff, or this is like still not safe, I guess.
Right.
And I don't know if that's part of my reaction or if it's just all old stuff, but.
Right.
We'll just go a little bit further with what you were, where you were going, Brannon, just kind of looking at your relationship, not just in like the sexual intimacy realm or the emotional realm, but also even just kind of expand out. Are there any other parts of your relationship that, that maybe still are a work in progress on the trust side of things? Are there any other areas of your relationship that it's like, I don't 100% trust in that realm yet either.
Yeah. So like I mentioned, he's been unemployed for quite a while, and that's something that I've really struggled with. He does do some stuff on the side, so he's not working at all, but he, part of it was he was kind of taking care of me when I was sick and going to school himself, but it's been quite a while. He's doing DoorDash, but he's not back to work yet. And I have kind of a lot of resentment about that. And sometimes I'm like, yeah, if that was in place, I think I'd feel safer. But then other times I'm like, I don't know, maybe that would be in place and I would still feel the same way. So that's something that I feel pretty alone as far as like in providing for our kids, you know, financially.
What's the holdup there? I'm just curious, like, it's been a while. Like, what are some of the struggles to get a job?
So initially, he didn't have any schooling, so he went back to school, and I was totally agreeable with that. And I was working that time, and that was an agreement between us. Like, yeah, this will work for now. And I had kind of given him a deadline, like, by this time, I would like you to be back to work, because I was going to be starting my practicums with school, and I knew that at that point I would need some help. And that's when I got diagnosed with cancer. So then he kind of felt like I need to stay home to help take care of the kids and you. So I was like, yeah, this boundary's kind of out the window right now. Everything's kind of thrown up in the air. And then after I got better, he chose to do some more schooling, which was great. And he graduated in July, and he's been job hunting, but not super enthusiastic about it.
Okay.
And I think just kind of lost as far as what he wants to do for a career, not sure if what he went to school and is actually what he wants to do and whatnot.
And okay.
So, yeah.
Okay.
So that's got two pieces to what you said too there that I think are maybe, these are what me and Brannon are trying to do is tease out the legitimate parts before we address the non-legitimate parts. Right. And it sounds like there is something legitimate here. Twofold. One is being able to trust that he's there as a partner to help provide. That's one thing. But then there's also like this resentment that's underneath the surface for you because that piece isn't in place. And so it's not just the trust or the safety. It's a trust and safety thing in terms of it's nice to have a partner and be with a man who wants to provide. But then there's also, and I resent him because of that. So there's that piece that is yours to be able to be working through and owning and figuring out how am I going to manage the resentment as much as it is. Yeah, there isn't enough safety in that one realm right now too.
Yeah. I mean, Tyler, if as you're talking, Megan, I'm really hearing the messy middle, what we call that. Like a lot of good things are happening. He's, you know, he's being sober. His addiction isn't running wild. He went back to school. You're wanting more connection. You're wanting to be closer to him. Like you're noticing how you're pushing away and you're noticing that that's real. But at the same time, what Tyler just said, before we just discount your need to push away as a trauma response, like, that's just trauma response. You need to get over that so you can just like be totally intimate with him. We need to double check and like really double check whether your intuition and your emotions are protecting you and are spot on. We need to start there. And to me, as we talk about the messy middle, it's both. I'm hearing both.
Me too.
And so I think it's important to sort that out, because your emotions are awesome because they are alerting you to opportunity for the work to be done. Like some of that work to be done with him. Mm-hmm. And then they're also alerting you to the opportunity for some of your own trauma work to be done at the same time. Right. So, So where to go with this? We could go further down the path of let's strengthen the relationship, the foundation of this relationship, so that you want to step more into intimacy. And we could go down the path of let's just look at you and the work that you can do in order to deal with your triggers and those type of things. And both those things will help. Both those things will help you move forward with him. But the relationship may get a little bit harder and might feel a little worse before it gets better, because some of the things that you need to address, you need to address, right? So,
yeah.
Megan, as you were talking, I'm getting the impression that overall, big picture, you and your husband are able to talk about things in ways that you never were before, than you never could before. Like you can talk about, you could talk about a hard topic better now than you could say 6 years ago.
Yeah. And we've talked about all of these things. Like we've talked about all, you know, how I feel about all the job stuff. And so before we couldn't have even touched that with the 10-foot pole, but,
his shame would fire off
So
that's a really good sign.
Yeah.
That you can talk to him about that. Yeah.
It sounds like, so that's all the good stuff Brennan's talking about. It's then having that discussion and then still feeling frustrated because, you know, the outcomes aren't happening the way you'd like them to, at least in this one area of life.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And that's the part that is like, okay, that's the day-to-day work. That's the boundaries. That's the me coming back to like my own value systems and maybe continually having that discussion or needing to do something different for myself. That's like your logistical day-to-day work, which is happening. And it's good. And it's trending in the right direction. I know your husband's probably going to listen to this. I hope he does. And I hope he understands.
I had to keep him out for today. He was going to come listen with me. I was like, yeah, no.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah. So
you can watch it later. But
yeah. Good. Well, that's good. So your husband's listening to this and I hope that he's hearing you. And I'm going to rephrase it saying that if he wanted to help you with feeling more comfortable and less kind of like on guard in all these other areas of life, his ability to step into those hard places for himself and actually go find a place and a way to start to have gainful employment and be a part of providing for the family would do a lot of good towards the process you're actively both pursuing and trying to be engaged in. So he knows that, he hears that. Hopefully there's some kind of action that's going to be continually moving in that direction. Right. And then you're left with this other side, the messy middle part of the internal parts of like, okay, and should that be the thing that shuts me down so hard in these other instances?
That's what I'm like starting to think is like, it's probably not all of that, right? Like that's probably a piece of it, but it's probably not the whole part of the whole reaction.
Yeah.
But so, I do want to say here though, Megan, like what you just said, this is just my experience. A man who really struggles to find a job and be consistent in a job. It's not about not finding the perfect job. It's usually something deeper than that within them. It's some piece of shame or fear or some level of weakness that is shutting them down from being consistent and being strong there. And so when you're saying, golly, it would be nice to have a paycheck, there's something deeper inside of you as a woman that's saying, golly, it would be nice to have a husband who can deal with this, step into it, face the fear, deal with the shame. And so there's some trauma work or some deeper work on his part to strengthen himself that would help you feel safer in that relationship. And one of the symptoms of all of this is that he hasn't had a consistent job. But you want him to deal with the root of that so that you feel his strength more, correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's That's done great. That. I don't know. And he always had consistent work while in his addiction. And now he's kind of repaired all the other areas of his life, spiritual, physical, health, like everything else. And now this one piece that used to be there is not there, but he's done a lot of work on pretty much everything else.
Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah. And that would be the thing that's continually worth exploring then, of not just like you need a job, but what's holding you up then, because we know you're capable of having this. And then all of a sudden, and it sounds like it might be connected to the fact that like there could be an emotional component to you getting your cancer diagnosis and him feeling like he didn't want to lose you and he wanted to be home and there could be a lot of stuff there. What Brandon's getting at is opening that up so that those issues can be addressed might be just as important or more important than you need to have a job tomorrow.
Yeah.
Even though getting a job tomorrow would actually be really helpful too. Right.
Yeah. Both.
So,
I don't want to make it all about this. Like this is right. One piece to the puzzle. Yeah. Because I think your initial kind of question is, I actually love that you're asking it, Megan. Like, gosh, like, you know, every time he hugs me too long, I'm having this response, and yet I can see he's working his recovery. You just said he's done all this work. So now let's kind of look at your response here.
Yeah.
Okay. You having this trauma response is totally understandable. It sounds like the things that you've been through in your relationship, it makes sense, right? We can all agree on that, right?
Yeah.
Yet it's not something that you want to continue. So, there's a trick to this that I want you to understand. I think you said in your question that you wrote us, I can't remember what you said, but this visceral reaction trigger response that you're having to intimacy, what we don't want you to do is to fight against that. So what I mean is when you feel that come up, I don't want you to say, don't do that. You're supposed to like try to just hang in here and be open with him and be here with him. Rather than fight against it, I want you to appreciate it and love it and have gratitude for it, because that's the way that you let it off the hook. Are you following me?
Yeah. So kind of, I don't know. Like just kind of telling my brain, like, thanks brain for trying to protect me, and instead of being upset with it or trying to just ignore it.
Yeah. Yeah. You can even validate it. So, hey, thanks for trying to protect me. It makes total sense why you're trying to protect me right now. I've been through a lot. So thank you. So you start there and then you can let it off the hook. Right. So if you start with, let's just say you start with shame, or you start with, when am I going to get over this? What's wrong with me? Now you have this trigger, this emotional response to the initiation. And on top of it, now you have this, I should be different feeling going on, which, does that make you feel sexy? Probably not. No. Right. Like, self-rejection isn't very sexy. So for you to just recognize, like, oh, there's the shame around it. Yeah, I'm going to not go there. I'm going to actually go to some self-compassion here. And also, there's probably a fear, Megan, and you tell me, if I don't kind of push away, then I'll have to engage. Is that, do you have that feeling?
I don't know. I think we've done pretty well at like working on like that. I can say no to whatever, right? Like,
okay, good.
So I don't know for sure on that.
Okay, good. That's good to hear.
when I can stop whatever point, you know, and be okay. Like, yeah, I'm done. I'm done. Like, that was cool. We kissed for 5 minutes. I'm done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that's where Brandon's going. And it sounds like you're already doing some of that really hard work and I like what Brandon's saying here, because it's like, I'm noticing that I'm having this reaction. And instead of going like, oh, that's bad, I need to get rid of it, or I need to kill it, or whatever. It's more of like, okay, this is here in the moment. I'm validating it. I'm grateful that it's come up. It's protected me in the past. The next step is to then assess, is it valid for this moment? And if it's valid for this moment, then I should follow it, set my boundaries, move on. But if it's not, then I have the chance to lean into that process, knowing that at any point, if I get a little bit too overwhelmed, or if I feel like a little too overloaded, I'm okay to then set my boundaries whenever during that process that's taking place. And that's the actual exercise that will actually build confidence in you. It'll actually be the opportunity to build trust in the relationship, especially if your husband understands the process you guys are engaged in, and he's willing to kind of go, yeah, okay, like I'm going to support you here, rather than, oh, I'm going to go roll over and pout, or I got rejected, or whatever else. Right. If you're both engaged in that, that's actually going to create more safety in the relationship in the long run, and it will help towards the long-term goal that you have. As Brandon was talking, I was picturing this idea of, you know, these feelings when they're coming up inside of you, Megan. I know that they're like full body experiences, right? It's not like there's a rational thought with the feeling before the feeling. It's like the feeling is there, mm-hmm. and then the work starts to recognize it and insert the rational thoughts. Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the body itself is like faster than our rational mind is in these kinds of moments. And so it's learning to dance with the body rather than trying to get the body to stop altogether. And if I can learn to dance with it, then I can suffer less, and I can get my rational thinking online more quickly. And then I can move into that decision tree of, am I safe? I think I am in this moment. Okay. How much do I want to lean in right now? Nope, I'm not. Okay. I'm just going to say no right now, and we'll pick it up later. But the body needs to be embraced. It's the thing that's moving the energy. And if you try to stop it, you're actually stopping the energy from passing through. Like a bullfighter almost. Like, here it is. I'm going to just notice it. I'm going to respect it. And then I'm going to give it the ole and let it pass through, rather than like, I'm going to sit there and fight it and then just get obliterated by it. You know?
Megan, I have some suggestions for you if you want about, I think you and your husband are ripe for just some real thriving and, just getting over some humps that once you get over those things, I think you're just going to like do really, really well. But it's some hard work, the things that you need to do. And going along with what Tyler was saying, if I were you, there's two things that I'd consider. So there's a type of therapy called sensate focused sex therapy. It's sensate, S-E-N-S-A-T, sensate focused sex therapy. Have you ever heard of it? Do you know what it is, Megan? Have you ever heard of it? I'm not an expert on it, but I'll give you just a little bit of a gist on it. It walks a couple through a very deliberate process of healing when it comes to intimacy. And so when there's been a lot of trauma and a lot of just problems with intimacy in the past, where sex has been more of a destructive force in the relationship than a good one, and then doing the healing work to actually get it back online again and make it a good thing, Sensate slows that down so much and removes all pressure from the process. And you do certain touching exercises that are very just careful about what you do. And so like You might just touch like someone's knee for just a little bit. And that's that exercise for that day. And it's just one step at a time until you start to feel safe touching again and safe connecting with each other again. So that's sensate focused sex therapy. It can be really difficult. So it, you know, like, because you have to keep certain rules and sometimes one partner or the other is like, no, let's break the rules. Like, you know, and it's like, no, like we're doing this practice to know that there's trust, there's safety, and we're getting comfortable touching in these ways. So sensate focused sex therapy, going along with that, Megan, I would look at, some ART for you around some of the emotional abuse and around some of the just overall trauma. You've had a lot of trauma in your marriage, from your cancer diagnosis to his addiction. There's been a lot there. And I don't know if you've done that deeper, trauma work other than going to Radiant Dawn, but that deeper trauma work, on yourself around it, because ART or EMDR, one characteristic of that therapy is that it desensitizes triggers. And it sounds like you're getting triggered quite a bit with him. And so for you to reprocess who he is in your relationship and desensitize some of those triggers could really help you in those moments where it's not so automatic. So have you done any trauma work like that?
We did do some EMDR. I think I kind of did it too early, if that makes sense. I don't know that he was super solid in his recovery yet when I did it. So it may be more, it helped in some areas with some of the triggers. So, but not in some of the others. So I think maybe.
Megan, when you do EMDR, are you able to surrender to the process and let go? And
when we did it kind of more on the topics of like the emotional abuse, I was able to, but when we tried to do it like on this topic several years ago, it was not, it didn't work out. But I wonder if maybe now that we've had a little more time and whatnot, if it would be helpful.
Yeah. And I might give ART a shot. ART is kind of like, I don't know, Tyler, what would you say? It kind of, it goes right at it in terms
it's like
of
a, I think it's more directive, a little bit more directive than EMDR is. So if you have a specific focus and maybe even specific types of memory, then ART actually walks you through the specifics of that a little differently than EMDR does. EMDR is a little bit more broad and allows room for the brain to kind of go wherever it's going to go, whereas ART is directed specifically at the thing. So I'm hearing you, Megan, as you've kind of been wrestling with this, you're actually really good at pinpointing these are the conditions at which I'm recognizing that trigger. That to me is screaming. That's the trauma part of this. Like, and you're becoming more and more aware of it. And you've actually narrowed it down to saying it's in these conditions under this, that's when I'm noticing that I have this uncontrollable response. That to me says something like an ART appointment or two could possibly do a lot of good for you there, especially because the conditions of the relationship have improved. So yes. Part of maybe why the EMDR didn't work as well when you did it, you know, back then around this specific issue is that it might have been good that it didn't work as well, because maybe there wasn't safety the way that it needed to be there.
Yeah. I mean, I probably did it like a year and a half after we started, and things were still pretty messy, still pretty much messy.
Yeah. 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 I like Brandon's suggestions there. I'd like to maybe just throw one more resource out there for you. And this kind of ties into that sensate focus thing, but it's a little bit broader. It's a book by the Burkas. They're a couple who actually specialize in helping couples overcome betrayal. And it's called The Couple's Guide to Intimacy. And it talks about something called sexual reintegration therapy, which is, we've had this breach of, you know, safety. There's been this trauma that's happened in our sexual relationship. Now we're in the process of rebuilding it. And so it's specific to someone in your situation. And I think it'll have flavors to what Brandon was describing, but it'll also have the backdrop of betrayal trauma as well.
Sounds good.
So
have we overwhelmed you, Megan, with resources and things?
No.
Yeah. What's going through you right now, Megan? What are you thinking? What are other questions you've got?
I'm just really grateful for you guys for talking with me about this today and kind of helping me sort out. I don't know. It's hard when you're in it to kind of see it logically, right, and to tease it out. And so I appreciate you helping me do that today.
Yeah. I had a session similar to this years ago where she came in and she's like, dang it, Brandon, my husband is like doing so well. And like, I want to want him, but I don't. He's like awesome. He's humble. He's hardworking. He's like working his recovery. But we have all this history and it's been like 5 years. And, I kind of did the same thing where we went through like, okay, is he really that awesome? Like, is he really that safe? Is, you know, and he was, and so it was about her. And we actually started in on a bunch of EMDR with her, and it did desensitize the triggers, and it did correct what she needed to correct so she could connect more with him. And it doesn't mean like constant just sex all the time, right? Like, yay, okay, just sex. But what it does mean is healthy sexuality in that relationship. She can say no when she needs to. She can fully immerse herself in that experience when she needs to as well, when she wants to. And so, Megan, healing is possible. You can absolutely do this and take the next step with him. He needs to continue to do his work. I love that. One of the best things you said was, I can actually talk to him about not having a job and he can hang in there with me. Because to me, that's showing shame resiliency, which is showing real healing that he's actually done. So that's awesome. Like, that's a really good sign. He needs to continue down that road, continue doing his work. As you do yours, you're gonna be okay. This will get better.
Thank you.
In the years that I've known you, Megan, I've always been astounded at your open heart to the process you're engaged in. And I know there's no doubt in my mind that if you continue to embrace your journey the way that I've known you embrace your journey for as long as I've known you, this is just another hump. You're already taking the right steps. I can hear you taking the right steps. You're stepping into hard conversations with your husband. He's able to hold those hard conversations. You're still doing your recovery work. He's still doing his recovery work. You're tuning up your relationship. I think when it comes to this part of it, and this is the hard part, is that when we want something to change so bad, we tend to put a lot of focus and energy on that something changing. And sometimes that focus and energy can feel like pressure. And in sexuality, it's almost like I need to be able to focus on it and work on it. But the way that I do that is by helping to take the pressure off. And so if there's any way that you can embrace your process by giving permission to be a work in progress, by alleviating the pressure to get better so quickly, you're actually likely to take steps forward by softening the approach a little bit. I don't know if that makes sense or not.
Yeah, no, it does.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're doing a great job.
Any last questions for us, Megan? Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you for coming on and being vulnerable. And like Tyler said at the beginning of this episode, what you're dealing with is actually quite common. So it's helping a lot of people by coming on with us and sharing your story. So thank you, Megan. Appreciate you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And for those of you listening, if this is meaningful or you know somebody who's in a situation that this could benefit, please feel free to reach out and share this with them.
All right, see you guys.